Right. The last time I was stood at the front of a church was with a young lady. It was 26 years ago. Well done. Good. Okay. I'm going to stop drawing because, believe me, you will catch me up as we go. God's word doesn't need any help, does it? But this is a bit of a crutch for me. I'm going to turn the lights on even. A bit of a crutch for me in that I'm in my comfort zone if I'm sort of drawing. That's okay. So we're continuing our journey through Mark. It will be helpful if you could just grab a Bible. We put out some extra Bibles this morning just to make sure that maybe we can have one between two, share with a partner, or there should be quite enough there. Okay. So, Harrison, your eyes and ears, does it look like everyone's got a Bible sort of somewhere there?
I think so.
Yeah? Okay. Would you like to just read out the verse, just the red bit at the top?
Just the red bit. Yeah. Mark chapter 8, starting at verse 27 and continuing to chapter 9, verse 1.
Okay, right. Mark 8. We're continuing that account. Okay. Harrison, you're still my eyes and ears.
Okay.
Does it look like everyone's maybe got that?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Would you like to do... Actually, just worth mentioning, when we looked at our allocated sort of passage, it was quite clear that things were sort of set out into three paragraphs, three sections. So we'll attempt to do three drawings of the three sort of sections that sort of sprung out the three paragraphs. Okay, so Harrison, with the subheading, which we'll talk about in a moment, could you read the first paragraph?
Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus and his disciples went to the villages around Caesarea in Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others say one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you think I am?" Peter asked. "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him.
Great. Okay, thank you. All right. So Jesus is walking along and he's having that conversation with his disciples as they sort of follow. And we can imagine, look on the screen there, what it might have been like on the sort of dusty road as they go. I think the main sort of point to this is sort of sprung out for me is very much like almost like the BBC program, isn't it? The sort of who do you think I am? Who do you think you are? Well, they go into all the genealogy. But Jesus is saying, he's just setting things up with his disciples. He's making sure that they have sort of really got it, isn't he? Goes along, and I think the poignant thing is who do you say I am? So in that straight away, we've got the personal sort of bit. So he's asking back then, who do you say I am? And down the centuries, he's reaching out, speaking to us as well, isn't he? Saying, who do you say? In setting up that whole. To that, so sort of big stuff. I'll just introduce you to the sketch-o-matic. Let me know if it stops. In practice, and Goffers kindly came and we checked all alignments and checked the camcorder was working, etc. And it just suddenly stopped. And this is thanks to Jeff Williams. This is Jeff Williams' camcorder, and he's actually in America. On his big holiday seeing his son, and he hasn't got his camcorder. I did offer it to him back. He said, no, you make use of it. But I think when the camcorder realizes, like now, there we go, it should come back. We're back on. The camcorder realizes it's not videoing the dog on the back lawn, and nothing's happened, and it shuts down. I think that's for every few minutes. Hopefully. Right, well, there we go. Right, I'm going to ditch that drawing now. So there's Jesus walking along. Obviously, I've cheated and sort of lined things out a little bit. He once said in a sort of drawing, if you stop fiddling with the palm trees and the grass, you know, I'm either stuck or don't know which bit to do next, which is absolutely true. I don't know which disciple this is, but there's another one. So they're hanging on sort of Jesus' every word, but as we'll hear, they're kind of thinking on the wrong lines. They're not thinking on the high level that Jesus is, as we'll hear. So there we go. So that's the first drawing anyway. Okay, so we're walking along. Right, I'm going to ditch that one now. Okay, so second thing. So if you just sort of maybe scan down, look at your Bibles, we've got now the second paragraph, and things are getting a little bit more serious. So a little bit more of a sort of grown-up question. And there's Peter there. And as we'll hear in a minute, he's taken Jesus aside. Okay, so I'm trying to scribble through. I think we're doing okay for time. Okay, so these are only small paragraphs, but they're sort of building. So a little bit more detail in this one. So, Harrison, would you like to do with the subheading the second reading, the second paragraph there?
Jesus predicts his death. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man may suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at the disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns."
Great. Okay, well done. Right, okay, so Peter's taken him aside. But I don't know, depending on which Bible you have, which print, and which version, even changes within the NIV, that's like one paragraph, one sort of section, or it was in mine anyway, in most of the church Bibles. I was speaking to Peter this week, actually. I asked Peter about how they, that's our Peter, not Peter the Apostle in the story, that would be weird, obviously. And Peter was saying about how it's very much of man and has come in, I'm sure very prayerfully, how different translations split things up, and also how they have different subheadings. And sometimes it can vary a little bit, but obviously the Lord works with whatever we have in front of us, doesn't he? So more complex, this next paragraph. And it's getting a little bit sort of more of a sort of grown-up kind of question, isn't it? We can sum up, really, in sort of what has Jesus come for? Why has he come? As we had in the first section, who is Jesus? Who do you say I am? Who is he? What has he come for? And the basic answer, the easy answer, is he's come to die. So it's as straightforward as that. As foretold, like in our Leviticus reading, so he's come to fulfill the prophecy this morning. And towards the end, there, just draw a few more disciples in. So they're in the background, they're wondering what sort of. But Peter's taken him aside, and Jesus is sort of listening to what he's got to say, but really he gets a little bit angry, doesn't he? He's sort of, you're thinking along the wrong lines. This is what you need to be thinking about. You've got to put yourselves on sort of a higher plane, really. So Peter's eyes were sort of clouded as to really seeing what was going on. Okay, so there, and we got Jesus talking to Peter. Right. So, and then finally, so here we go. So we're finding out what it's all about. Finding out what we've come down to, all the passages that we've read, and indeed like the whole crux of what's been going on so far in Mark. Okay, I would say straight away, this little last silly sketch, this it's not a crucifixion scene, not a crucifixion scene at all. This is just symbolic. It's a happy scene, symbolic of what Jesus' answer is, of what's going on. Okay. It's a longer paragraph to read out. Okay, Harrison, would you like to read the last one in the subheading?
The Way of the Cross. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet fulfill their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed for me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." And then he said to them, "I truly tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they can see the kingdom of God come with power."
Great. Well done, Harrison. Well done. That's great. So, it's the big stuff. It's the big deal. So, it's got right to the point and found out exactly what's been going on, how that comes together. And there's so many sort of big quotes there, isn't there? Sort of reflecting the importance of that last paragraph, that last sort of section. And reminds me, digressing, of it's like in Pride and Prejudice, I'm sure we all know, Jane Austen does a similar sort of thing, and brings out all the big guns. When Lizzie is proposed to by Darcy in the parlour, and she gets really angry, and she comes out with quote after quote, and Austin sort of loads like a little passage reflecting the importance of what's going on. What does she say? She says, "You're the last man in the world," or "I've never desired your good opinion, and you have not bestowed it. Were it not a reason for uncivility if I was uncivil?" And it's a similar thing here, isn't it? If we just scan through, just look, glance down at that passage, all the bits that are a big deal and that sort of mean quite a lot. So we've had everything revealed now. In the first section, and then we've responded personally, and now it's the sort of outworking. It's the crux of it, isn't it? What do we need to do? That's what he's sort of saying here. What do we need to do? And the answer is, obviously, pick up your cross. A bit like the Americanism, isn't it? Pick up like musket, Sam. And as he's saying, pick up your cross, whatever that might mean to us personally. So it's a very bad drawing of Jesus carrying a cross. Okay. So we've had the identification and the reason, the why, and finally, the response. Okay. So, we're going to sing again. So, it's number 1000. See how quickly I can fill that in. King of Kings, Majesty, number 1000.